Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your first station radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say. We're calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, of course, with the second wave of COVID-19 in Victoria, we're going to talk to Dr. Animika Devi, who's a lecturer in early childhood education in the School of Education at RMIT University, and talk about early childhood education, learning from home, homeschooling, parenting, teaching and learning, child development and pedagogy and education, children's play. We have Dr. Animika on the line. A very good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Our thoughts are going out to all you mob there in Victoria and the space that you're living in regarding COVID-19 second wave. Let's talk about our beautiful children in regard to their education. Where are we at in regarding the childhood education and learning from home? Let's talk about that topic, please, Doctor.
Yes, this is really, really important and crucial topic at this moment, because in Victoria, we are in third stage of lockdown, and most of the schools is shut down, and children are doing homeschooling at this moment. So parents and guardians, they are having really struggling situation to understand how to actually take care of children and also make the balance between their life in their professional commitment as well. So I have published a news article in RMIT University's webpage where I have actually proposed 5 strategies where parents can actually have a look and think about that, how they can take care of children during this.
And what are those 5 strategies, Doctor?
This 5 strategies like maintain a routine, like everyday routine for young children. So it could be same like school routine. So it can give the clear understanding or clear picture for children that what the day may look like for them and what activities they are going to finish the entire day. So this way children can actually focus on their activities as well as they can fulfill their work commitments.
Mm.
And also parents, it is important for parents to have a routine as well, so they can actually have a schedule in their everyday life that which time they are going to work for their professional life and also for can taking care of children as well. And another point is about involve children in their everyday household work, okay? So it can reduce children's stress as well. So if you give them some scope to do some household work like washing dishes, taking pets for walking, or like watering garden, something. So this time is really uncertain time. So they can enjoy the work with adults as well.
Exactly.
And one very important point I have mentioned about play. For young children, it is very important that they have opportunity to play. Learn something. Learn something through play. So for older children, we can think about a project. So project-based learning is some kind of, it takes long period of time. I have 6-year-old child and 2-year-old little child. So I enjoy my time whenever I get leisure time to involve with them through play. So I give them some opportunity to engage in project like a volcano project. So we have a book about volcano. So I show them a video, YouTube videos about volcanoes to understand that how does it work when it's volcano eruptions happen. And then they made a paper mesh project and they used some clay to make dinosaurs.
So it's a playtime thing, but it's an educational thing as well.
That's right. So they're learning through play, and they're enjoying that, how the eruption has happened. And you can use some different type of chemicals, like household work, household different type of materials. So this is fun, loving activity, and also they're learning.
Sure.
Academic learning things. And other 2 points about is well-being. Okay, parents' well-being and children's well-being. We should not take any stress that if we cannot make a commitment or if we cannot fulfill any commitment during this time. We have to be really stress-free during
this
time. Exactly. Stress-free. And we have to think about how to give time as a family time, maybe watching a movie together.
Mm.
Okay. And also maybe we can do gardening with the children in this time. So children can learn some things like water cycling or maybe life cycle of the plant. So this kind of household activity actually give the opportunity to children involved with you and give them some scope to reduce their stress, because they cannot actually express their stress as adult we can. Do.
Exactly. I suppose the time at home is understanding that the kids, you're all supposed to be at school between 9 and 3, so we can make that time, school time at home. I know here in Queensland, especially up here in Cairns, back when we had the shutdown early in February, March, kids were getting, and some parents were getting the kids dressed for school but at home doing in between that time, school time, yes?
Yeah, then you can give some break, and then they can have some leisure time during that break time. So making a routine and sitting down like in front of the computer, doing some conference meeting with the teacher. So it's totally up to parents that how you're going to actually make a routine for children.
Yes.
And I'm not telling that the routine need to be really strict.
It
needs to be flexible as well. Yeah,
like, exactly.
We can do a flexible routine, same like e-school or early childhood centers, that they always, educators and teachers say that routine need to be really flexible. It cannot be strict.
Sure. And we don't expect the parents to be a number one, five-star teachers as such, but any support and help they can get from the internet or communication with the school via internet, emails, what have you, there is access to support, yes?
That's right, yes. That's why I suggested in my article as well. Like, instead of getting stressful life or thinking about too much, we can get help from teacher as well. We can have a conversation
exactly.
with them that how can we actually make a flexible routine for children and what kind of actually interesting activities we can provide to children. So mutual understanding with the teachers and have a good collaboration with them is really, really important at this moment.
It is, yes. Like I said, we're thinking of you guys down in Victoria and the space that you live in at the moment. We're a little bit more free in regards to COVID-19 up this way. Everything's pretty much normal to a certain degree, but we are still practicing social distancing and what have you. But with your second wave down in Victoria and what's happening, like I said, thoughts are going out to you. Thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Anamika, and all the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, okay?
Yeah, take care and be safe, you too.
Take care, bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, Dr. Anamika Devi, her name is. She's a lecturer in early childhood education in the School of Education at RMIT University. And we were talking about the early childhood education, the learning from home and homeschooling, parenting, teaching and learning, child development. So very important, and children's play as well, which is important, like more so down in Victoria and New South Wales and regarding the lockdown and what needs to be done and how to support our children at home, as well as juggle the JOB, the career path that we as adults do take. So it's about not putting too much pressure on yourself, is what we're saying, the message to the parents. And there is support there regarding your schools via emails and what have you. And, of course, all different activities that you can come up with that's educational as well as playful as well. So that's very important. All right, have you say your mob. Jan Armstrong here on National Talk Black. Call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. You're talking to the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program. And the program is called National Talk. Talk Black. So have your say in Yarnup Strong, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
He took the children, they took the land. We learned the truth, now we understand. The day for sorry we shared together, and the promise to make things better. Come join the journey, journey of healing. Let the spirits guide us hand in hand. Let's walk together into the future. The time has come to make a stand. Let's heal our hearts. Come and join the journey of healing, together as one across this land. Our people still suffer, our children still pain. With divinity, this land still reigns. Their cries still heal our hearts, let's heal our pain, and bring the stolen children home again. Come and join the journey of healing, together as one across this land. To go forth together, we must heal our past. For the lies of history are revealed at last. For our native children to trust again, we must take this journey together as friends. Come join the journey, journey of healing. Let the spirits guide us hand in hand. Let's walk together into the future. The time has come to make a stand. Let's heal our hearts, let's heal our pain, and bring the stolen children home again. Come and join us, journey of healing, together as one across this land. Come and join the journey of healing, together as one across this land.
I might say, but you may know, with the grooving, we both know. I get this feeling, oh, this feeling, that we're going to be just fine. I can feel the wind running through my bones. I can see the clouds light up above. And I love to say this to you. That everything's gonna be alright. So I just want to say this again. That everything's gonna be alright. I get this feeling of happy grooving that really gets me in my zone. And I'm jumping, oh, jumping to the rhythm of this great plan. And this love, this great love that we get between us, I can see the stars shining up above.
Yeah, Too Deadly, that track, feeling all right. Hope you guys are feeling all right. That was Black Image Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your Sabo calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 0457140550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarnum with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say on National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob. I'm going to catch up with the Boys in Blue from Edmonton Police. The segment is Which Way Yarning, which is proudly sponsored by Pekoni, and that's Brinsmead and Edmonton IGA. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bibra Media, and we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle for First Nation students who come here and do work experience and getting all their T's and I's dotted and getting ready for their education, further education. Fantastic. All right, we're going to catch up with Yarn. We've got Senior Glenn Delay come to join us here in the studio, and he brought a couple of bodyguards, but we're going to yarn with one of the officers as well. He's first year constable. Josh will have a yarn with both of them, but let's start with Glenn. Well, very good morning, both of you.
Yeah, good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good to see you guys. Glenn, start with you. Thank you. It's been a while since we had you in the studio here.
It has, yeah.
Thanks for COVID-19.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I've been up at the Ivory Tower District Office.
Yes.
Looking after the Country Patrol Group.
All right, fantastic. And we'll bring you into the conversation soon. Josh, first year constable.
Yep, that's it.
So how are you enjoying that journey?
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, mate.
All right.
So far, so good, yeah.
Good. And background, what did you do before?
In my previous life, I was a construction manager in a landscape company. Yeah, okay. So 17 years doing that.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Did you always have an aspiration to become an officer?
To be honest, I was always going to be a fiery, but that didn't come about. But then tried out for the police side of things and, really enjoying it so far.
Got fired up about that?
Yeah, got fired up, yeah.
Enjoying the police force, fantastic. Yep. We'll jump in your conversation. Now, Glenn, back to you. Last week you had the divisional performance review.
We did, yes.
That's like a report card, eh?
It is, for the Far Northern District.
District. So tell us how that went and what that involves, and are they like the police and the police, is it, sort of thing?
Sort of like that, yeah. So this is where our chief superintendent up here has to explain to the commissioner, where we're at and how well we're doing. Mm. And they give us an appraisal of what they think should be done.
Sure.
And, it's a good thing. It's healthy.
Of course it is.
It's brutal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, but there must be a bit of leeway for yourself being new in your position, OIC, only for a short amount of time.
Yeah, as the relieving position.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, that's right. I was only in it 4 months. I was as an OIC, and then I've just spent 4 months as an inspector. So
you can't really report much on that.
No. So, but what I can do, I can speak about the Country Patrol Group very well because I've spent my whole career in it. When we're talking about the Cape, up at Laura, Yarrabah, Edmonton, they're my stations. So, as the inspector for that patrol group, I understand all the ins and outs. I didn't have to talk a lot about our patrol group.
Okay.
The performance reviews a lot at a much higher level. So we're talking things like finance, you know.
Okay.
Why are we over budget?
Okay, yep. There is a budget. Can't step over that line.
Nope. And I suppose we sort of touched on a lot of things there that, you know, where we can make improvements. As a commissioner gets around the state, she picks up a lot of good ideas from other areas.
Sure.
She can make suggestions, of course, and obviously rob our good ideas, and move them around the state. While they're brutal and we all feel like we're you know,
interrogated on big notice, time. Yes, yeah, on notice, absolutely. Exactly.
This is all about self-improvement, and it's something that the QPS is always striving to
achieve. Well, even if you're doing a good thing and doing a good job, I always say you don't have to be sick to get better.
Yeah,
so exactly, in every day, right, in every way, we can get better and better.
Yeah. And this happens in every industry. It happens in health. It happens in education. Aviation industry is very good at it.
Sure.
You know,
they have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Looking at your shortfallings and... and seeing where you can make improvements, you know.
And so with the divisional performance review, when do you get the report back on that? Is it there and then, or do they tick the box as they ask the questions?
Yeah, there's got some action items from the performance review. But, I'm sure after that meeting, the commissioner would have emailed the superintendent and said, look, these are the things I need you to fix.
Yep.
And, these are the areas you're going well at.
Have you got that information back yet?
Yeah, well, we had it on the day.
Had it on the day. Yep. There you go. Yep. Okay,
We know where we're working well, and we know where we need to make some improvements. And they're not always easy things to make improvements with, because if we look at something as something like, let's say, domestic violence or crime, that can fluctuate for a number of different reasons, you know, and we see changes in our crime activity up here just with our seasons.
Sure.
You know? So. And COVID definitely changes things, has changed definitely with domestic violence. People cooped up at home, it's caused a few issues.
Well, so a lot of our victims are at home with the so-called perpetrator.
Exactly.
And that's not good, not a good space.
You know, so
COVID-19 hasn't helped, but it has exposed what's going on as well.
Yeah, that's right. And so they're the questions, and and we need to have answers for that, for the review. And they occur 12 monthly. At this one here, we were told it's going to start happening 6 monthly.
Okay.
So we've got a very, very active police commissioner, and she's thorough.
And I think that's good for the constituents in all areas around this country, that the police are doing their job. They're there to protect and serve. And then with these performance review, it makes sure that is adhered to.
Yeah. And look, it all flows downhill too. You can bet that if the chief super's email from the commissioner was critical of an area, that area is going to hear about that. And
exactly.
You know, and
that's
and
when look, you pull your socks up and do the job
absolutely.
Properly.
And that'll flow right down through our patrol groups and even down to our stations, station inspections, and then down to the junior officers with their performance reviews that they have themselves each 6 months. So,
fantastic.
You know, it's all designed to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
And you, as a OIC in the position, you're feeling confident in regard to the review?
Yeah. Edmonton fared off okay.
Good.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Yep.
So
all right. We
go all right. And I'm not just saying that because I sit in the seat.
No.
Edmonton.
Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Edmonton went okay.
Good.
The whole of the Country Patrol Group was fairly well represented.
Fantastic. Good to hear. Let's go over to the first year constable, Josh. Yep. Josh, what's your surname, Josh?
Sprag.
Sprag. Okay, yep. Josh Sprag. Thank you very much. So tell us your journey regarding becoming a first year constable and leaving from the landscaping industry into the blue uniform.
Yeah, so I guess working in the landscape industry for 17 years, it was a bit tough on the body. So... was sort of looking for a different option and talked it over with the wife, and we sort of came to the conclusion that something like the police force would be a good option to go into.
Mm.
So looked into that.
Where were you living at that time?
Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast, okay.
Originally from a small island off Australia called Norfolk Island.
Yep.
So, lived in a small community there. And
where did you do your training?
At Brisbane Academy. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How long does that take?
So it was a 6-month journey. Ours got cut short by 2 weeks because of all the COVID-19 stuff. So got sort of thrown into it. Did a bit of border patrol down in
Gold Coast. You became an officer 2 weeks earlier than normal.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So did a bit of border patrol down Gold Coast, and then ventured back up here and, got stuck into it.
Okay, so then you got posted up here in Edmonton, is that right?
Edmonton, yeah.
With posting like that, have you got a say in the matter?
So we get a sort of a list with 21 different training centres.
Yep.
And then you sort of get your choices and then it gets left up to the big guys to work it out.
And so now based up here in Cairns. Yep. So the wife happy with the move?
Oh, loves it. Yeah, we're loving it. I've got three kids, so we just go down the beach every chance we can. And
well, this is our winter, you know what I mean? And I went to bed last night, electric blanket, so it's cold here at the moment.
I wouldn't call it a winter.
That's right, exactly. So, and you know the old phrase, happy wife, happy life.
Oh, that's it.
Happy spouse, happy house. If she's happy, then it's all good.
That's it.
Don't care how big and solid and deadly you are in that blue uniform. We know who the boss is.
Yeah, that's true.
Fantastic. Look, great to have you here in the studio. This is a fantastic program. Big shout out to cousin Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, who organised this whole yarn with the Edmonton Police, which we're yarning, back about 2 years ago. Glenn, just refresh my memory. And Rob Hollingsworth has moved on to another station,
Rob has, yes. So Rob's put in for 6 months of leave, mm-hmm. and he has taken up a position with Community Corrections, so Townsville.
Okay.
He's down there. And we're happy to have him back.
Sure. And, so left on good terms. He just wanted a change.
Look, he wanted a change of scenery.
And the door's always open back here at Edmonton.
Yep. And he'll certainly come back skilled up from another government agency. Look, policing and community corrections nearly hand in hand, isn't it? You know, and certainly in his PLO role, he'd handle that as well as he did in the police as with the corrections side of things. So,
good.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, well, shocked. I didn't know that he moved on, and me and my cousin were close, but not that close.
We're not encouraging any fans to try and go and incarcerate themselves to visit.
Well, we're talking about having lunch together, and he was buying.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. I'm alluding to the fact that...
That might be why he skipped it.
He filled out the application when I said, lunch, you buy. I think he had that papers in. There you go. Because, Rob, we'll find you. Black Tracker, brother, I'll find you. Look, good talking with you. Thank you very much for coming in.
No worries.
Good to see you, Glenn. Josh, nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
And we'll catch up soon, gentlemen, and all the best, eh?
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you. A deadly yarn there with the boys in blue, and that's Edmonton Police and deadly program there. That segment is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pecconi's, IGA, Brisbane and Edmonton. Give us a box of food here at Bummer Bipper Media. So big shout out to those guys as well. Thank you very much to Deadly. Teamwork makes a dream work. Keep it alive. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray callers have a yarn. To Deadly Mob.
Hey, what's good on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
She's standing on the corner, bumming cigarettes. Somebody's daughter could have made it anywhere. She tries to remember her mother's touch. They try to warn her, but her mind had given up. We all saw the signs before she saw the signs. So many faces coming, so many places running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it one day, one day at a time. Silver liner seeker searching in the lands. Every day weaker, trying hard to understand. If you only remembered, we still love. Tried to surrender, but his mind had given up. We missed all the signs before he saw the signs. So many faces. So many places running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it one day at a time. One day at a time. Time's not a weekly magazine. Time's not a gold wristwatch. Time is a gift. Time is all we got.
Some times are tougher than others. Some nights take too long. Some days are hard. Take it as it comes. So many faces coming, coming. So many places running, running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it. One day, one day. So many faces coming, coming. So many places running, running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it. One day, one day, one day at a time. One day, one day at a time.
Day at a time. Yeah, to Delhi, one day at a time. And that's Busby Maru, The Great Divide, here on your Delhi program, The National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by yarning up on that number, 1-800-422-416. So give me a call, let's have a yarn, your mob, to Delhi. Now, the Environmental Defence Defenders Office, that's EDO, active for Veronica Dolly Talbot as a member of the Gomeroi Traditional Custodians in a challenge under the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Heritage Protection Act 1984 to the lawless lawfulness of the Minister's decision not to grant protection to several significant areas of Aboriginal cultural heritage on Liverpool Plains, northwest New South Wales, and not a good outcome in that sense. We're going to catch up a yarn with David Morris, CEO of Environmental Defenders Office, on the line. David, very good morning. How are you?
I'm really well. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a sad affair, and I believe you share the disappointment as well in regard to what the Minister's decision to protect coal mining over site of significance importance to First Nations people. We as First Nations people start to think, well, a broken record, but care factor zero. Would that be the case?
Yeah, look, the decision highlights, again, if we needed another example of how poor Australia's laws are as they relate to protecting Aboriginal cultural heritage. But the fact is they don't, really. You know, we've had...
And we look at it as LAW law, not LORE.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's really no concept of that within the kind of law that I practice. But, you know, to the extent they try and protect Aboriginal cultural heritage, they're just failing again and again and again. And it's heartbreaking for our clients. It's obviously really disappointing for us as their lawyers. But, you know, for Dolly and the Gomeroi Traditional Custodians, a really, really heartbreaking loss in the federal court last week. But there are still options to protect those sites. And we hope that, you know, the government sees fit to change these laws, and we hope that the minister avails herself of opportunities to change tack on this, because in this example, she said, "Yep, totally accept that these are sites of immeasurable significance to the Gomeroi."
But there's always a but coming, isn't there?
There's a huge but coming. The local economic benefits, or the she was persuaded by the mine of the short-term economic benefits outweighing the destruction of that cultural heritage. And we have a real problem with that in this country.
Yes.
That you've got something that is intangible and of a measurable significance being weighed against a particular dollar figure. And the dollar figure, tangible as it is, or even uncertain as it is always winning out. This is the problem. We are not grappling with immeasurable significance. We're not grappling with thousands of years of tradition and significance and living culture. And we need a legal framework that understands that values that in this country.
Well, it comes to the dollar signs, what we say as First Nation people.
Value, cultural heritage.
Yeah, well, it comes to like legal dollars. Yeah. I'm losing David there. We'll try and get David back online there. lost David. He's the David Morris, CEO of Environmental Defenders Office, and talking about he acted for Veronica Dolly Talbot, and as a member of Gomeroi Traditional Custodians in the challenge under the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Heritage Protection and lawfulness of the Minister's decision not to grant protection to several significant areas of Aboriginal culture. We'll try and get him back online and continue that conversation, very important conversation. Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We'll get him back online and just add to the conversation. I believe we do have him online. One moment. Just go to a track here and try and find him. Well, they got him back online. Okay, one moment. David online. Yeah, this is your daily program, National Talk Black. So do add to the conversation. Mob Jan Upstrong here and even to this very important discussion here. David, you there?
I'm there. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. We dropped out.
We got a COVID-19 on the phone, brother, so a virus happening there, but it's all good. Got you back. look, we laugh about the matter, but it's a very serious matter. We start to think as First Nation people that that means any mining company come to this country or start digging wherever they want to dig and care factor zero regarding sacred site or land of traditional owners, yes?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think from our perspective, there are kind of two things that we don't have. We don't have an overarching set of national principles about how First Nations people and traditional owners need to be engaged about decisions which are going to destroy or affect cultural heritage. And you've got to have the right people having a say and actually making the decision. And at the moment, you know, it's almost...
Well, there'd be no black skin at the table where those decisions or discussions are happening. Yeah. I will say that, and I'll probably speak strongly of that. There's only non-Indigenous people at the table, no matter what area, whether it be a mining company or government or lawyers. You know, it's devastating.
Yeah, look, we're in wholehearted agreement, and, you know, these decisions are being made by, you know, in this instance, a white minister after having had a report that says these places are of significance. It's not surprising that people are very upset by this. I mean, it is...
Well, another example I'll give there, David, is let's go to Egypt blow up all the pyramids because there's gold underneath there. Imagine that happening.
Yeah, look, it's not something that you can imagine, and it probably comes back to the earlier point for me, which is that our law framework, LAW, doesn't value Aboriginal cultural heritage, and as a country we need to grapple with that, because it's upsetting that with the oldest living culture on the planet right here, something that we should be all so incredibly proud of and value so highly, that we're continually willing to make decisions that see that culture eradicated or trampled on or destroyed. It is heartbreaking for traditional owners. It should be heartbreaking for all of them.
Exactly. So, David, do we see now a hole in the net, so to speak, in regard to protection of our First Nation heritage land and TO's land in regard to mining? There's a hole in the bucket, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, probably you could ask the question whether there's even a bucket. It's a bucket without any kind of base at all, I suspect.
There you go, yep.
These are things that are well known and have been for a long time. There's been proposals to reform this legislation to put TOs more in the picture, to actually provide stronger protections for cultural heritage for a long time. And one can only hope that Dolly's experience in the federal court last week, the experience of Rio Tinto's actions in the Pilbara,
yes,
are finally going to place a spotlight on these things. But this kind of issue can't be lost amidst the pandemic. Systemic racism can't be lost.
Yes, amidst, exactly.
This pandemic, and one can only hope that you know, our community as a whole says we're not prepared to accept any longer a system of laws that doesn't protect.
Well, Dave, the other thing that comes to mind is there are sometimes agreements between TOs and a mining company, and they have an agreement, a piece of paper that discusses their agreement as such. But then, if the mining company wants to go outside that agreement and make that boo-boo or that mistake, so to speak, is what they would put it, they get a slap on the wrist, maybe a $1 million fine. but then they make $50 billion in mining, but the sacred site's gone. That's the other thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think for me the complexity around agreement making is that, you know, all contracts generally, to be fair, really rely on two parties coming to the same table at an even position.
Yes.
And unfortunately, our legal framework, so in terms of native title, there isn't that equitable basis upon which people come to the table. And you only get that by empowering traditional owners to say no if they want to. Most of our frameworks don't empower traditional owners to say no if they want to. So they're coming to the table from a weak bargaining position, if you like. And that's
virtually in a corner to say yes.
Real unfairness. It does, yeah. It does.
Mm. So that's the other thing that needs to come to table is like, well, so like I said, TOs who've got their idea or their LORE and their passion and their reasons for protecting land and cultural reasons sometimes cannot put it into the terminology of discussion in LAW in regard to the agreements, and they're behind the eight ball from the get-go, yes?
Yeah, look, there's considerable difference around the country. So we've got our national framework, and then you've got different frameworks in every state and territory. Some are better than others. But what we would express is the need for these national kind of minimum standards or principles about how traditional owners are engaged when it comes to all projects which are going to impact on sites of significance.
Mm.
That's the key. In Dolly's case, where do we go from here?
Well, exactly. That's my next question. Where do we go from here for Dolly?
We're considering whether there are opportunities to appeal the decision of the federal court, but it's difficult. And as I say, it's in the context of legislation which is really poor, that is not fit for purpose. So it needs to be reformed. But we will nevertheless look at whether there's opportunities to appeal that decision.
Is there conversations going on with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Minister in regard to Ken Wyatt about this situation?
Oh, look, I don't know the answer to that. Where our focus isn't so much dealing with the politics of it rather than looking at whether or not we think there are...
The law side of it.
Whether there was any issue with the decision-making in the federal court in this instance. So whether there's an opportunity to appeal it. That's what we're focused on. The Gomeroi traditional custodians, as I understand it, have made a further application to the minister under that same piece of legislation. So there's a new opportunity for the minister to carefully consider the new information in that application.
Mm.
And so there is the opportunity for the minister to go back and revisit things. And I think to take a more sophisticated approach or to consider more in a more sophisticated way the competing or interest in terms of the economics of the situation, because I think really there's an opportunity to think more closely about that and think about the value of these sites
exactly.
in a broader and more comprehensive way.
Well, the sad thing is, while that's in the process and in the time that it takes, the coal miners just keep digging and keep doing their so-called business and practice their business, yes?
Look, this particular miner still has some small numbers of approvals that they need to get to go ahead.
Okay.
And so...
Time could be on our side.
One of our concerns, I think, originally was that the mining company would go and do ground-disturbing works, which would obviously have significant impact on the sites in question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing and enlightening us. Thank you very much. Big shout-out to the TOs and the fight, and thank you for being at the table for our mob there. And we'll talk soon, David. All the best to you.
Pleasure to come on the program. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's David Morris. His name is Environmental Defenders Office, CEO, and the Federal Environment Minister can still act to protect sacred site after Gomeroi woman loses court action. So the fight is still on, but there go figure in regard to our fight as First Nation people protecting First Nation heritage, cultural sacred sites and what have you, and mining companies have a big say under the protection of LAW, and we are then on the side of the road, so to speak, once again. Look, a lot of work to be done there. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation. We're about 10 minutes left on the program with National Talk Black. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah!
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program. That's I heard it through the grapevine with Jessica Mowboy, JM, Two Deadly Sister. Hope you're well, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with Bully and Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from Nakari. Live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns, BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We got Owen online. Owen, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for coming to the program. Where are you based, Owen? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm in Mackay.
In Mackay, yep.
Grove in Mackay, yeah. Yeah, I got a daughter teaching down in Maribyrnong, mate, and she's in grade 1 and 2, and they're having trouble with the children down there. Doesn't matter what, because they're black, white, or brown, or whatever, mate.
Kids, you know, okay, yep.
The children are being reared up to have no respect for the teachers or anything anymore. And they don't seem to have any respect for parents or anything like that. And the next generation coming through, it scares me.
It is scary. I mean, when you look at it, this day and age, with social media and what have you, and both parents are busy in order to survive and make it a living. Kids, it's all good. But compared to when we were growing up as younger ones, you know, it was, respect was a big word at the table, wasn't it?
It very was. And like now the parents seem to be wanting to keep up with the people next door instead of worrying about themselves. You know, they've got to have,
live like the Joneses.
They're putting themselves in debt and forgetting about the children.
Yeah. I'm feeling your pain there, Owen, because there's a lot of disrespect going on with children, care factor zero, and not respecting authority. And the sad thing is, I always say there's kids out there having kids.
Yes, that's it, yes. Yeah, it's not good, is it?
How long has your daughter been teaching for, bro?
Yeah, state school in Maribyrnong. She's been teaching for about 10 years now, And she's noticing a big change in the last couple of years. Down there. She was out of Blackwater with all the Aboriginal children out there for 7 years. And she said it was really, really good, eh?
Yeah, she enjoyed that, and she's come mainstream now. And like you said, you're not bringing colour into it, but kids, as in kids in general, no respect for authority, teachers, policemen, whatever the case may be, you know? Sad.
Trev, I don't think we should bring black and white into it, because we're all the same. We all bleed.
Exactly.
We all bleed the same colour.
Well, exactly. And children should be taught respect. And if they're not adhering to those teachings, then they should be adhering to those teachings, so we can live in a better community. They grow up as good adults.
Yes, and I got a sister-in-law that helps children. She's a carer for children, like that, abandoned babies that from drugs and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
And she does all that work for helping babies that are. Got drug problems born with it, you know, from the parents.
Well, exactly.
Babies. And when they get a bit older, they just seem to lose it. Now, I don't know whether it throws back to their parents or what, but they seem to lose it all too, you know, as they grow up. You can see them change and wanting to go back to that terrible life.
Yeah, well, exactly, you know. And when you look at, like, example, racism is not, you're not born with, you're taught. Well, that's the same thing in regarding manners respect for people's belongings and language and everything, you know, cursing and all that sort of stuff. Manners, it's all taught. You're not born with it. So the teachings are not there, or the kids are not listening to the teachings, so to speak.
Yeah, and my daughter, that's a teacher in Maribyrnong, she takes the kids to her home and tries to help them, you know, educate them for nothing, you know.
And that's going over above the duty of call, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, she's
fantastic.
You know, she's trying to do her best while she's on this land, you know.
Exactly. Well, I'm hearing you, mate, and thank you for your call, Owen, but we're in the same boat, and I agree with you fully. Kids are disrespectful, but it's all about the teachings, and mainly starts from home, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, Chris.
So what do you do for quit, Owen?
No, I got terminal cancer, mate.
Oh, okay, mate. Sorry to hear that.
No, that's all good.
Live your life to the fullest, my brother, but thank you for your call and thanks for tuning in to National Talk Back, my friend.
Yeah, good to listen to you, mate.
You take care, Owen. All the best, mate.
See you, mate.
Bye-bye. Little yarn there with Owen calling from Mackay and talking about his lovely daughter who's a teacher and the disrespect that is happening regarding kids towards teachers, towards parents and adults as such. And like I said, back in our day, we were taught tough love, but we were taught respect, and that's sort of all gone out the window. But like I said, kids having kids, we need to do our bit. And to me, like the old phrase, kids are a child is like a piece of paper. And as you walk past that piece of paper, you leave a mark on that piece of paper. The question is, what mark are you leaving? That's what it's all about, you mob. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Take care, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. COVID-19 is still with us. Take care, mob.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. We'll be right back.